Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
College football game time brought to you by Dos Equis and Engineered Solutions of Georgia. We've got number two versus number three in college football today. Normally, that would be the dominant story of the day, and certainly we'll be talking a lot about that, but we'll talk a lot about the impact that COVID-19 is having on college football, and that matchup is number two Alabama takes on number three Georgia today, Nick Saban, and will he or won't he be on the sidelines? We'll get into all of that today. Glad to have you along with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can find us at 929thegame.com. You can find us on Twitter, again, at 929 The Game. Randy Mack, at RandyMack81. John Chuckery, at JMCH316. You can find me at ChrisGoForth1. Guys, let's go ahead and hop in.
Chris, yeah. I have my hand raised.
Yeah. That didn't take long.
No. It's Bulldog Chuckery.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a big one today. So, Randy, yep. our Bulldogs, Randy, got a big one today. So let's. I got my red shirt, and my gray britches on. So
please
ready
tell
to
me
go.
You got a newer shirt because I mean you had the same damn red shirt for 3 years. So yeah. It's pretty much faded by now.
No, it's old. It's like me. It's used and worn and worn out
and everything.
Yeah.
It looks like one of those shirts that Belichick wears to his press conferences,
right.
Randy.
And I have gray britches, not silver, because the silver's in my hair. So.
And there it is. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Jim. Good morning.
Well, Nick Saban goes into quarantine earlier this week, guys. Now, in order for him to be on the sideline for Alabama tonight, he's got to have three negative tests before he can get out of quarantine. Now, we know he's already had one. ESPN reported that there's been one. Now, I guess we're still waiting on the test results from yesterday, and then I assume they will test him early again this morning in order to make sure they can get the results back to see whether or not he can be cleared for tonight. But there is a chance that Nick Saban could be on the sidelines for Alabama tonight.
Yeah, we actually had Ryan C. Fowler, who hosts Afternoon Drive for Tide 100 in Tuscaloosa, on last night on the show. And, you know, Randy, I guess what started all this with the negative test was it was the rapid test that, I mean, without trying to get too much into detail of the technicalities of the different tests, the rapid test is what came back that it was positive. But as he's taken more of these tests that are kind of, I guess, more accurate than the rapid test, those are coming back negative. And to Chris's point, you know, he had another negative test. In talking to Ryan last night, he believes that Nick Saban will be on the sidelines, that assuming that there hasn't been some other unique setback, he firmly believes that after the rapid test said yes, everything else is coming back negative. And he said, I fully expect him that he'll probably be on the sidelines tonight to coach that if he was a betting man.
I think he'll be there too. He's about to be on ESPN this morning in like the next 10 minutes, and I'm sure he'll probably announce that. It was never I won't say worry, just like, okay, Nick could be there. I think this is a story that is really big because it's Nick Saban, because as we know, there have been other coaches and major universities that have tested positive for this. But because it's Nick and because of the seriousness of this game this week, you know, it was more of a big deal. I never really thought that Nick was going to be out. I don't know why. If not, I thought that he would be somewhere in the vicinity of Brad Dennis Stadium. I mean, you know, in a press box or something like that, in the Winnebago out back, something. But, you know, I never really thought that, because, you know, I mean, I've played for Nick, and one thing I know about him, he has micromanaged everything down from what they eat to the to the color of the shoestrings they wear in their shoes. That, I mean, he has his hand on everything that goes on with that program. So not surprised that it's a possibility that he'll be coaching tonight.
Hey, Chris, I wondered whether or not he would pull the Bobby Valentine, put the fake nose and glasses on, and show up like that and dye his hair and like a big porn stash and just find a way to sneak in, find a way to get in there and put like a big, overcoat on and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but there's a bunch of memes going around social media with the new Alabama assistant in Vic Sampson, it's Saban with the dark hair and the porn mustache. So
yeah, that. But I'm saying that. I mean, that's just the impact that this man has on college football. I know JC, you say that, and I agree with you that Dabo Sweeney is the voice. Well, Nick Saban is a face.
No doubt.
So that's why you have all that stuff going on.
We'll get to more talk about the Georgia-Alabama game. We will talk about some on-the-field stuff around that game coming up a little later on. In about 30 minutes or so from right now, Cecil Hurt from the Tuscaloosa News, who's covered Alabama for decades, Cecil Hurt will join us. We'll talk more about this matchup between Georgia and Alabama. We'll get the latest on Nick Saban, and will he or won't he tonight with Cecil Hurt coming up again about 30 minutes from now. We did have six games across college football that have been postponed this week because of COVID-19. Two of those are in the SEC. That's LSU and Florida, Vandy and Missouri. Those two games were canceled. Also, guys, real quick, Oklahoma State at Baylor has been canceled. Baylor has had more problems with this pandemic than anybody else. 28 football players and 14 staffers with COVID-19. This is getting down to the point with Baylor guys where if they can't play Texas next week, they're running out of weekends to be able to put games now. They're going to have to start forfeiting games.
Yeah, and it's not like they can just go to spring and everybody's going to show up and play Baylor. So
Right.
I mean, it's, you're either going to have a season here very quickly or you won't. It's a shame. I mean, they've played two games is what they've been able to muster thus far. And, the hope was is that, I guess this is the bye week, right, for the Big 12, is that this is one of their all bye weeks, but they couldn't even squeeze this game in during their bye week. So you're right. I mean, it's going to be one of those things that it's going to be do or die very quickly for Baylor. There's not going to be really much of a choice here within the. I mean, it's hard to believe that we're in the middle of October already. So it's calendar's running pretty thin.
Hey, JC, not to cut you off, Chris, but breaking news: Nick Saban's COVID test was negative. He took his third test this morning. If negative, he'll be cleared. Okay, so he took the test this morning, so it's more than likely he's going to be.
Well, Desmond said he was going to be there, so if Desmond says it, it's got to be true.
Your guy. The thing with this whole Baylor, we know that this is going to be the tricky part because of when we talked about before the season started and all this went down, fellas, is that everybody has their own set of different rules. Every conference is this split. And when you look at the Big Ten coming back next weekend, okay, they have the least margin of error. And the one thing about them is they're not worried about if you get a positive test on a player or whatever on a Tuesday or something on game week, it's not how many tests that you get as like how many negative tests you get leading up to the Saturday. You're mandatorily done for 21 days.
Right.
God forbid if something happens to one of the star players in the Big Ten and he gets sick, he misses three damn games. Yeah. I mean, this is the most confusing thing about it. Is like, that's why you guys always have taught me this. There's just no leadership in NCAA. There's no reason that you should have all these different rules for different conferences. But, yeah, Baylor is at a point where, they might as well cancel the season. They might as well. I mean, they have no – can they even make up these games? When you talk about forfeiting, I feel bad, just as bad for the players of Baylor, but their opponents also, because it takes a whole lot to get yourself ready to go and get ready for a Saturday and a Sunday and for it to, because somebody might not have been doing what they're supposed to be doing, your game is canceled. So it sucks.
Right. It's college football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Real quickly, guys, let's go back to last week. Defense was apparently optional last week in the SEC. You had Alabama and Ole Miss combining to score 111 points. Texas A&M put up 41. Best that offense has looked since Jimbo Fisher got to town in a 41-38 win over Texas A&M. And then we saw Georgia just be totally dominant in the second half last week against Tennessee. John Chuckery, let's start with you. A couple of thoughts on what you saw last week, not just in the SEC, but from around college football as a whole.
Well, I mean, certainly – Georgia's defense in the second half showed you why that they're as good as anybody in the country, and they didn't allow Tennessee to do anything. I think it was like 11 or 13 yards rushing, multiple turnovers. That game was over once Georgia's defense decided to pick it up. Let's give Uncle Freaky a little bit of credit for how bad Florida's defense is, A&M finding a way to win. He deserves a lot of credit for that. He was all over that last week.
So he was.
We'll give Uncle Freaky a little bit of favor in that. And I thought UNC showed that, you know, and listen, you knew that was going to be kind of one of those strange games. And we talked last week, Randy, but that looked like it had sneaky good game written all over
right,
with those two teams. But I think it's a big win for North Carolina. And we keep going back to, okay, can you find a way to win some games? That's great to have all that talent, but man, their offensive personnel for Carolina. Woo-hoo, I mean, they have their running backs, receivers, quarterback. I mean, they are loaded. And, you know, I don't know that anybody beats Clemson. When we get to buy or sell, I've got a question about Clemson for you guys. I don't know anybody that's going to beat Clemson the way that they look at times. And that was a statement too, by the way. I was checking my timeline, Randy. Did you get many other U's back tweets or anything?
Not a one.
Okay. All right.
Not a one. But last week I saw Georgia, you know, outside of those two perfect throws from Garantano for touchdown, they were perfect throws. You know, they really didn't do anything. And like you said, Georgia decided, you know, okay, let's go. And that defensive effort in the second half was outstanding. I thought Stetson played well enough. And, you know, like you said, the North Carolina-Virginia Tech game, did Virginia Tech come back or did North Carolina let them back in? Clemson just smacked around Miami, like you said. And I'm telling you what, you want to blame the crowd and all that? No, you need to blame Todd Grantham and that defense because Texas A&M whipped them. Texas A&M straight out whipped Florida last weekend.
He's not there.
He straight up whipped him.
One last point, guys, before we go to break, about the Oklahoma-Texas game last week. I didn't realize this until this morning when I was going through and was kind of looking at some one-loss records. Tom Herman is a recovered onside kick from Texas Tech away from being 0-3. Mm-hmm. In the Big 12.
Yeah, we talked about Baylor maybe canceling their season. The Big 12 just canceled their playoff plans, so they don't have to worry about that.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Hey, we'll go around the SEC next. That's brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. When we come back, it's college football game time. Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. When LSU beat Georgia. Randy, let's start with you. The Dogs going into Tuscaloosa with or without Nick Saban on the opposite sideline. What needs to happen today for Georgia?
Georgia has to make plays offensively. They got to play well around Stetson because the one thing that Nick is going to do is he's going to make Stetson have to beat them. He's going to make him have to beat him. He's going to have to make him have to beat him with plays outside the numbers. He's going to have to make some of those big-time throws, you know, to George Pickens and these receivers. And when you're in a situation where your quarterback has certain limitations, because the one thing I love about Stetson has earned the right to be the quarterback. He has earned the right to be the quarterback at Georgia. But they got to play well around him for him to continue to succeed. Because even though he's a junior, he's still a young playing quarterback. You know, this is, you know, what I mean by that is how many games he's actually played. So, I mean, they got to do that. And Tucker's favorite player in college football, Jaylen Waddle, scares the hell out of me. He does, because you watch these clips, man. They are he is being double teamed. He just runs past it. I mean, they're doubling him, but he just runs past it. But I just think it like this: they scored. This ain't the first time they averaged 50 points, and we've played them. We've got the lead. The biggest thing that Georgia has to do today is finish. You got to finish, and I think that's the thing. And you can't coach tight because sometimes, especially in the second half, Kirby start the staff and Kirby and them, they start playing tight. They cannot do that today.
You know, I'm interested to see, guys, Randy, I'm interested to see the type of games that these offensive coordinators call, and I'll tell you why. On the Georgia side with Tom Munkin, the Alabama front has not played well. Their front four have not played that well, and I know they've got Dylan Moses and all that, but, you know, it's you know, and talking to Ryan Fowler last night, you know, even he was saying that, you know, they've not been very good. They've not been very consistent. They're not nearly the kind of defensive line that we expect
right.
out of Alabama thus far.
They're young.
Right. And so, you know, does that lend, you know, how does Todd call a game like that? It, you know, do they, I mean, obviously we know what they want to do identity-wise, but, you know, it's we're traditionally used to an Alabama front that nobody runs against, but this might be a group that you can get some hay against. I'm curious from his standpoint.
Yeah.
The other side is, Randy, is, you know, Nick Saban obviously wants to run the ball as well, but Steve Sarkisian is a guy who gets happy feet in his play calling that, you know, Najee, as good as he is, isn't just going to line up and run it right at Georgia today. So when that doesn't work, are they willing to stay with it? Are they going to panic a little bit and let Mac just start hucking it around? You know, there's some questions about it. I'm curious to see how both of these offensive coordinators handle, you know, their play calling today and how they decide to attack both these defenses.
To piggyback off you, JC, the play calling, when I look at the Georgia offenses, is it going to be that damn shotgun inside belly 17 times? You know, get right. creative. I think McIntosh and Milton, all these out, they need more touches. They need to find a way to get on this perimeter with this run game. I really want to see it thing because, you know, it's the always added with Georgia. Well, we were holding stuff back. We didn't want to show too much before Alabama. Well, that ain't no excuse because you got to line up against Alabama at 8 o'clock tonight.
Right.
So I want to see all this. Well, we were just holding some stuff back. I want to see that today. Also, been saying it all week, guys. They need to move George Pickens around. They need to put George – because if you're just going to leave him outside with little Pat all day, Pat Surtain Jr., it's not going to be a great matchup because Pat can eliminate that. Even though George is big time, they need to find ways to move him around, get him the ball early so he can be involved and not be in a knucklehead. Because to me, it seems like when he's bored, that's when he does dumb stuff on the football field that can hurt your team.
And
how much of a surprise is it that George Pickens has only caught 8 passes?
I'm surprised. Well, the thing with it, and the reason I'm not surprised is because I know Karius Jackson, like I said, he went to my high school and everything. Well, Karius and Stetson, they were on the scout team together all those years, you know, and so they got this rapport. As far as he's comfortable throwing the ball to him. He's just not comfortable throwing the ball outside. And also, they're not getting Pickens in any situations to be successful. He runs hitches and he runs takeoffs. Let him do something. He's a big-time route-running player, but can Stetson get him the route on those inside dig routes? On those outside dig routes and comebacks and things like that. I don't know if he can right now.
You know, and Chris, my favorite matchup in this game tonight is I want to watch Georgia's corners go against the wide receivers of Alabama because now it's not just Smith and Waddle. Malachi, you know, he's stepping up as well. But, Randy, we know, you know, a couple of things. One is Mac Jones is leading the nation in yards per attempt. And last week or the week before, whatever, it's like 17 yards per attempt. I mean, they when they throw it, they get a lot of yards out of it. And, you know, that keeping everything in front and tackling guys and eliminating the yards after catch – you know, that's for, you know, however many years now that they've had this group of wide receivers is how they've lived is it's an 11-yard, you know, over the
right.
middle that's
right.
67 yards
that's
downfield.
A big thing, you're right.
You know, and to your point, Randy, they run away from guys. They, you know, they just you think you've got the angle on those guys and all of a sudden they're gone. So how I think the Georgia corners, Chris, in matching up with those wide receivers, I think that's the fun chess match watching how that plays out tonight.
They're playing good. The corners are playing really good. Like I said, they got 2 touchdowns caught on them, but those were I'm talking about perfect pinpoint throws by Garantano. And you can live with those kind of things. But that's what I'm saying. Like that's what scares you about the receivers. It's not necessarily they can just run past you. It's the fact that they can catch it, make one move, and then run past
mm-hmm.
you. You know, and then Najee is definitely the X factor. I mean, he was so big time last week as far as carrying the football. But people forget how really good a receiver he is. He's a really good receiver out of the backfield. So Georgia's going to have their work cut out for him. But, I mean, it's going to be a fun game. This is probably the best team Kirby has had to face Nick. I'm just talking about as far as the depth and everything like that. It's all about can Stetson Bennett make plays when he's forced to.
John, to your point from earlier, I think you're 100% right. The fact that Alabama doesn't have that dominant guy in especially on the defensive line. In years past, there's been a Jonathan Allen or somebody like that that you just knew was a difference maker in the ability to wreak havoc up there. The guys they have, I mean, they're a bunch of four-star guys. They were all very highly recruited, but there's not one guy that has really emerged along that defensive front for Alabama. And then the back end of that defense, guys, Alabama is 60th in the country in pass defense. Alabama is tied with Air Force, Wake Forest, and East Carolina is number 60 against the pass. That is, I mean, that's not exactly the college football defensive juggernauts when you're talking about Air Force, Wake, and ECU, but that's who Alabama's grouped with at number 60 against the pass. Let's take a look at some of the other games around the SEC today. You've got number 15, Auburn at South Carolina. That is a noon kickoff today. Look, we talk about being surprised about George Pickens having only 8 receptions this year for Georgia. Guys, I'm surprised at just how bad Auburn has looked. They've looked really, really shaky. They should have lost.
They should have lost.
That was a
drag. They got hosed.
Listen, what was worse, the call on the field or the SEC's explanation on how they came up with that call?
The explanation was just awful.
That
was awful. The thing with Auburn, that offensive line, they got 4 new starters. They haven't played well, and they can't run the football. Auburn can't run the ball. And I think you're seeing a culture like a scheme type thing that's not meshing with Chad Morris and Gus Bus. It's not working right now. And yeah, they should have lost last week. I feel bad for Arkansas and Coach Pittman, but I mean, today's game against South Carolina, hell, they might lose this game. I mean, that's how bad Auburn has looked. And South Carolina, they play hard, you know, but yeah, Auburn, they're just not there this year.
Yeah, but I don't know about South Carolina though either.
I mean, they play hard, Juckery.
Yeah.
Well, statistically.
Listen, so do you guys on middays.
So. Yeah, they work hard.
Statistically, South Carolina looks like the better team. Now, Kevin Harris, their running back, he's very quietly having a really nice year. He's number 2 in the SEC in rushing, and he's a guy that could carry it if they needed him to. He could carry it 25 times a game, and he's not a guy that they thought would be in that role coming into the year. All the excitement around the South Carolina program was about a 4-star running back they had coming in out of Maryland, and Marshawn Lloyd was the kid's name. And that's who they thought would be the one that would be that featured back in that offense. But instead, it's been Kevin Harrison, and he's been really, really good. Texas is at Tennessee today. That's another noon kick. This is one, guys, I think Tennessee really needs. They need to get that bounce back. You can't let Georgia beat you 2 weeks in a row, Randy.
Yeah, that's the thing about it is how did you respond to it? It's an early kickoff. You're going against a feisty Kentucky team, that can do some things defensively against you. You know, they're not very explosive on the offensive side of football. But, yeah, Tennessee's got to get back to winning. And they got to – the one thing they got to do is they got to establish a run. Like a lot of people thought they might be able to against Georgia last week. They got to get those two backs great. They have got to get those explosive plays. And Garrett Thomas just got to – you know, his biggest thing, and I think that when you talk to Tennessee fans about him, is his mental makeup. That's what you talk about with him. And he got straight manhandled in that second half last week against Georgia.
Yeah, don't make the big mistake that kills you. That's going to be key for Garantano. Texas A&M, Mississippi State. We may have to come back to this one, John Chuckery, because I think there's a whole lot to unpack on both sides in this game.
How many points did the offense that's supposed to take on the SEC score last week?
Yeah, I think Costello now leads the SEC in interceptions, by the way, too. Is it
9 interceptions? Yeah, he's 9 interceptions.
I think he's 2nd in touchdown passes and 1st in interceptions now.
Both take over the SEC, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, isn't it funny that last I looked, SEC defenses aren't exactly, Cal and Colorado and Arizona. You know, it's going to get a little bit more physical for Mike Leach. Look, it's a growing pains type of thing. I mean, yes, his offense will adapt and figure some things out. I'm not sure Costello is the great trigger man that I'd want running that offense, but you know, he's the guy he's got. So,
Ole Miss and Arkansas, that's at 3:30 on the SEC Network. Again, we're going to come back around a little later on in the show. We'll talk some more about these SEC matchups today. When we return, Cecil Hurt, he's been covering Alabama football for the Tuscaloosa News since 1982. We'll get the latest on Nick Saban, and will he be on the sideline tonight for Alabama with Cecil Hurt next? It's College Football Game Time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Radio.com app. College Football Game Time is brought to you by Dos Equis. Make social distancing more interesting with Dos Equis, a most interesting beer. Well, we've got number 3 Georgia going to number 2 Alabama, and to help us break that down, we welcome in on the waitfor.com hotline Cecil Hurt of the Tuscaloosa News. Cecil, if you can, bring us up to date on Nick Saban. We know he's gotten 2 negative test results now. What's the timetable to get the results of that third COVID-19 test today? Have we got Cecil? I guess we don't have Cecil Hurt yet, so we'll try to reconnect with him, guys, here in just a minute. But John and Randy, as we talk about this matchup today between number 2 against number 3, it feels like, and Randy, I think you said it earlier, it feels like you're going to see Nick Saban on the sideline today.
Yeah. It does. And, when you look at, and I know I'm like Chucker, I don't want to get into all the rapid tests and this test and this. I don't want to, but it just seems like he was going to. And, and that's the times we're in right now, because he is the face of college football, because there have been other coaches that have tested positive for this virus and missed the game. But it was, it's whatever, man. Nick Saban's going to coach him. How about we just say that? Because Sark has rebuilt his reputation. I can say that. But at the same time, this is a different situation. This is Georgia, Alabama, 2-3. I don't know how he's going to react. I think offensively he'll be fine, but it's just about the presence of Nick Saban, the adjustments that he make, and how he inspires his players. And I don't know if Sark has that in him.
I'll even say too, real quickly, that in just understanding about what Nick Saban probably is, I think he'd do this if it was Citadel.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's try again. Let's try to connect with Cecil Hurt from the Tuscaloosa News. Cecil, what's the timetable on getting the results back from what I know Alabama fans hope is a third negative COVID-19 test today for Nick Saban?
Yeah, they hope to get the test back this afternoon, the results of the test. He's already taken the test this morning. So they hope to get the results back. Yeah, I couldn't give you a precise time, but maybe 3-4 o'clock. I don't know, but fairly quickly. That seems to be, based on Alabama's releases the last 2 days, that seems to be the time frame that they've been getting his results back.
And Cecil, when you look at this game today, and we know that Alabama, they got one of the better offenses, and not the best offense in America, but defensively, you saw some holes, some leakage, some missed assignments last week against Ole Miss. The presence of Nick Saban, will that help out the defense more, you think?
Well, it could. He really lets Pete Golding call the defenses. Obviously, he can change things or suggest things or. But, as everybody's seen, there's really not a college football fan who hasn't watched Nick on the sidelines. He's more involved with the players, with firing guys up if they need to be fired up, with gently instructing them during teaching moments, as everybody has seen. he makes his point. And I think the biggest part of having Nick Saban on the side is obviously he brings an expertise, but it's also just not disrupting the routine for players who are used to seeing him in the locker room, used to hearing him at halftime. And, I think that's important for players. That doesn't mean that they wouldn't rally around if he's not there. Nobody knows how 18-22-year-olds are going to react, but I think it would be less of a distraction if he were there.
Cecil, we were given our thoughts about this defensive front for Alabama and what it's looked like so far. How would you describe the play thus far of Alabama's defensive front?
They've been okay. Christian Barmore was out he's just now working his way back from a knee injury. Missed the first game at Missouri, played very briefly, and hadn't been 100%, but he's closer to 100%, and gives them some interior rush. I think DJ Dale could have been better. I think he's been sort of neutralized at the line of scrimmage. Phil Mathis has been around for a while, and is playing some. They need one of the younger players. They've recruited well. You know, they recruit well every year, but they need somebody to sort of step up on the interior. You know, we're talking about the down two or down three. Ole Miss kept them so spread out that sometimes they'd only have two defensive linemen on the field. Now, Will Anderson, who's from Georgia, the freshman, he's going to be outstanding. He just needs to mature, needs to tackle a little bit better, get guys on the ground. But he's a real pass rusher.
It's like we lost him again.
Outside. Excuse me?
It's college football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Cecil Hurt from the Tuscaloosa News spending some time with us. Cecil, are you surprised at what Ole Miss was able to do last week against Alabama?
Well, I won't say that I anticipated that they would score 48 points. I knew Lane would have a great game plan, and they have excellent skill position players. Now, their defense, you know, if you're comparing them to Georgia's, you know, they're 100 light years away from Georgia, but offensively, they've got guys Georgia would really like to have. Without getting into a quarterback comparison, Matt Corral's a very good quarterback. They've got two running backs that can make things happen. They've got an excellent receiver in like Moore. So they've got guys. And Lane puts them in a position to have mismatches and did that over and over, played tempo, didn't let Alabama substitute. So, am I surprised Lane had success? No. Am I surprised Alabama didn't play well enough to keep it under 48? Yeah, a little bit. They missed tackles. They had missed alignments. So Georgia's not going to do what Ole Miss did. They're different teams, and Georgia shouldn't do that. Georgia should do what Georgia does. But it doesn't matter if they come out in the wing T if Alabama doesn't get aligned better and tackle better.
See, so what would you say is the difference between the way that Mac Jones runs this offense as the quarterback versus Tua Tagovailoa?
Well, Tua was so creative, and Tua, you know, he had an arm to make every throw. Mac has a good arm, but Tua would try things that no other quarterback would try. That's a tough comparison. You know, that's a top five draft choice, even though he was injured. You know, so that's a tough bar for any quarterback. But Mac's done great. But Mac's more of a pocket passer. Certainly can escape the pocket if he has to, but just couldn't have the dynamic personality that Tua had. But who does? Who's another Tua? I mean, they come along once every 40, 50 years.
It's college football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Cecil Hurt of the Tuscaloosa News spending some time with us. Cecil, what can you shed any light on what the relationship is like between Nick Saban and Scott Cochran, who was at one time his strength and conditioning coach, and he left Alabama over the winter and came to Georgia, where he's now the special teams coordinator? Do you think Alabama would like to be able to block a punt against him today?
And vice versa, both ways. So, yeah, I think like Alabama would. I think Scott would. I think people will be watching the special teams. They're both professionals, so I'm not going to say their relationship. You know, they'll have a fist fight at halftime if Nick can even be on the field at halftime. But, you know, Scott wanted certain things here, including a chance to coach on the field and you know, in his judgment of how to manage the staff, that wasn't the direction that Nick wanted to go. So there was a great opportunity at Georgia that's given Scott a chance to get on the field. So they disagreed about that. And so different people carry disagreements different ways. But again, Nick's been in this business 40 years. So he's had every kind of staff turnover that you can have. And I'm sure that you know, Scott was here a long time, but sometimes that makes it tough to leave, and sometimes it makes it time to leave, if you know what I'm saying, and to try something new. So I certainly hope they're both successful, but when somebody's lined up for that game-winning field goal, you know, one's going to be and one's not.
Well, Cecil, we got about a minute or so left. I wanted to ask you this question. I love to ask people, you've been around Bama forever, Nick Saban or Bear Bryant?
Well, they're different. The times were different. They both have a presence that you can really tell. I always say that Coach Bryant couldn't have handled the things that Nick has to handle in terms of media and so forth and modern-day players. And Nick couldn't have handled what Coach Bryant had to handle, which was not only coaching on the field the way that he did, but also Alabama in the 1960s. And I don't have to explain to you or to anybody what some of the background to that was. You know, Coach Bryant integrated the Alabama program, brought in the first black players, and so they were different men in different times. But what they both had, that Bryant had and Nick has, is the absolute confidence that they know what they're doing, that they're doing it the correct way, and that if their team follows them, that they will win, and then they have the ability to convey that to their players.
You can find him on Twitter, at Cecil Hurt. Cecil, thanks so much for giving us some time today.
Thanks, Cecil.
Yeah, glad to do it.
All right, man. We'll look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks.
Cecil Hurt from the Tuscaloosa News. Again, you can find him on Twitter at Cecil Hurt. As we continue here on College Football Game Time, we'll take a look around the nation. Not a whole lot of games going on today, honestly, outside of the SEC and the ACC today. And we'll talk ACC coming up during the 11 o'clock hour, but we'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour a little more about the SEC schedule today. We'll continue to talk Georgia and Alabama as we roll through the second hour on College Football Game Time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.